Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we consider the Word of God from our second lesson from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Since that was read in full, I'll just repeat some of the opening verses. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. This is the word of our Lord. Dear friends, fellow saints of God, redeemed by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and witnesses sent out by Jesus, what does it take to stop you from speaking about Jesus, telling about him? I would have to admit to my shame that very often the answer is not much. I suppose some of you probably have a special gift from God that you can go out and just talk about Jesus wherever you go, and doesn't matter to whom or who you're with. It just comes really, really naturally. But I think for a lot of us, it isn't that way. That maybe even the idea of talking about the truth of God, about Jesus with a stranger or even with our own family or friends, fills us with a certain sense of dread and apprehension. We just don't really want to do it. And then you hear and you see someone today like the Apostle Paul. Now here's a person who faced, you know, not just maybe possible embarrassment or conflict, but actual death threats and physical harm and persecution. In fact, when he first became a Christian and started preaching in Damascus, he was persecuted so strongly that the only way for him to escape was in a basket over the city wall by night. And, you know, maybe a lot of us at that point would have said, maybe I should tone it down and not speak out so much and just sort of keep it to myself. But he kept going, and, you know, things like facing wild animals in the arena or people throwing stones at him until they thought he was dead, you know, maybe then he would have said, okay, that's it, I'm hanging it up, I'm done, I'm through with this. But he didn't. Nothing stopped him. He just never stopped speaking about Jesus, no matter what he went through. And for someone like me that can be stopped so easily, you got to wonder, well, how did he do it? You know, what was it that led him to speak so boldly and so confidently and not be stopped by anything? And, you know, how can I be more like that? Well, in our scripture lesson from today, he answers those questions, and God reveals through the Apostle Paul that it isn't really about his personality or something about him or having an outgoing nature or, you know, personal courage that made the difference for him. It was simply that the Apostle Paul saw things differently than most people. And that's what made him speak up for Jesus. And that's good news for us, too, because we may not be the most courageous or the most outgoing, but we do see things differently, you and I, because we know Jesus, and that's the difference maker. We speak up because we see things differently. And it's not so much about things in us, but it's more a matter of where your focus is. What do you see? How do you look at things? Now, it might seem kind of obvious and easy that if you're going to speak about Jesus, you have to focus on Jesus and look at Jesus. But it's so hard. And the center of everything is Jesus. He says, we believe and therefore speak because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. It all depends on that, and that's something we know very well. We need to focus on Jesus. The thing is, as sinful people, it's so very easy to focus on ourselves instead of Jesus. And maybe just the simple fact that it's so hard for us to speak about Jesus, and there's so many things that stop us from doing so, maybe we aren't as focused on Jesus as we think we are, we would like to be. And see, the problem is when we're not focused on Jesus, not only does that cause a lot of problems in our own personal lives and rob us of some of the comfort that we have in Jesus, but it also hinders us from being his witnesses and telling other people about him. Because looking at ourselves, well, it leads us to pride or greed or despair. The first look that we have at ourselves, we usually are pretty optimistic. We look at ourselves and we say, yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm doing all right. I'm doing well in life, and I'm providing, and I'm pretty nice most of the time. I'm a good person, so you know, I feel pretty good about myself. The thing is, besides ignoring our sinfulness, that really leads to more sin of pride. That I'm built up in myself, maybe even looking down on other people because I think that I'm so good. And beyond that, well, if I'm pretty good the way that I am, what do I need Jesus for? So now I don't need to look at him. And if I don't need Jesus, well then, you know, other people probably don't either. And why would I share him with anyone? It becomes an obstacle. And the second look that we take at ourselves, we look at ourselves and we see all the different things that we need. So I need this, and I need this in my life, and I need that, and I need, and I need, and I need. And our life can just be consumed with getting all this stuff that we perceive that we need and we just have to get. And again, that not only leads to lots of problems, but it hinders us from speaking to others about Jesus because we're so busy chasing after all of these things that we need. And what's more, well, for example, if I need the approval and for other people to like me so much, well, maybe talking about Jesus would get in the way of that. Or if I need more time, if I need more money, well, I don't want to use up time and money devoted to the mission of sharing Jesus with others. It becomes a hindrance. And then the third look that we take at ourselves, and this is the one that we don't like to take, but sometimes it just hits us in our face. It's not very pleasant, but the look that we take and we say, man, I'm just not very good. But we see our failures. I haven't achieved the things that I've wanted to in life. I've messed up and I've hurt people. And I'm not as nice as I thought that I was. And I don't see why anyone would love or need a person like me. And certainly God couldn't possibly want or need or love a person like me. And that leads us to despair. And we still, you know, focused on ourselves and sitting around and saying, nobody loves me and I'm no good. And we don't look at anyone else. Three different looks, but they all lead us away from Jesus. And out of that, out of looking at ourselves and all the different bad places that it can take us, Christ calls us to look up and to look at him. And there's the answer. We see Jesus who came in human flesh to live our human life and be perfect in our place. And we see that Jesus died, and he died for us. For our sinful pride that builds ourselves up, Jesus died to take that away. And for all of our greed and wanting things for ourselves, Jesus took that away. And for all of our despair and self-loathing and self-focused, Jesus died and he took all of that away. And in Jesus and his forgiveness, we are whole. And Jesus rose from the dead, proving that he had finished his work of salvation. And we see that God does love us, that God does forgive us, and nothing can take that away. And Jesus will come again. And he promises us eternal life and glory with him, that he will raise us for an eternal life of bliss. And there is our life. And that brings us away from looking at ourselves. And it also, once we see Jesus properly, instead of focusing on ourselves, that also leads us to look at other people in a different way too. Because when you see Jesus, when that's your focus, it changes the way you look at everything else too. Because when we see the wonderful things that Jesus has done for us, we want that for other people too. We want other people to have that. We want other people to know Jesus. Paul explains it when he speaks to the Corinthians in this way. He says, all this is for your benefit. See, if you're a parent, you might understand this a little bit, that you understand all of the work and effort and sacrifice that it takes to raise a child. You know, all of the work, you know, beginning with diapers and changing and feeding and going all the way up to policing fights between siblings and driving them from place to place, and all of the money that it takes to feed them and clothe them and pay tuition, and, you know, all of the stuff that goes into it, and, you know, money and time that you could have spent on yourselves and had a better house or car or maybe better vacations or whatever else. And it's all worth it. It's all worth it to see your child grow and prosper. And Paul says it's really the same way when it comes to sharing the good news about Jesus with other people too. And certainly if he wanted to complain about it, he could have had plenty to complain about. You know, he could have said, well, I could have spent all this time pursuing my own career and, you know, building respect with people, and instead I travel around like a vagabond and depend on other people, and there's all these people who don't like me and are out to get me. He says, that doesn't matter. It's all worth it because I can see you. I can see you as God's people growing in your faith, and I know that you're all going to be with me in heaven one day. And that makes it worth it. And all of that was because he was focused on Jesus, not himself. He says, the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. In Jesus, he knew that his life was about serving others and glorifying God. And that's what he was doing. Still, though, a lot of people in Paul's place, you know, if they looked at all the things that he had to go through in the name of Jesus, might have just given up on the whole thing. But Paul didn't, because of his focus. He focused not on the things that you can see, but on the things you can't see. He looked at the inside, not the outside. It's very easy for us to be distracted by all the things that we can see. And certainly, they're important for our lives. You, for example, need food to eat and a home to live in. Those are things that you can see. And certainly, we're surrounded by a host of problems and issues in our lives that stare us in the face every day. That, how am I going to have money to pay the bills? Or, How am I going to return to good health so that I can be full strength again? Or how can I solve this problem that I'm having with my family or with this person that's so hard to get along with? You know, those things, we see them every day and they stare us in our face. And rather than, you know, coming to Jesus for what we need the most, Jesus simply becomes kind of our problem solver. Jesus, help me pay my bills. Jesus, help me to get along with people. Jesus, help me to feel better. And those are things that we can and should pray. Don't get me wrong. Those are realities that we deal with, and those are things that we need, and God knows that we need them, and He promises to help provide for us in those areas. That's reality. But that's not the whole reality. That's just what you can see. Because the biggest and most important thing that Jesus does for us is something that you can't see. He fixes our broken relationship with God. And He promises us a life that is eternal. That's an unseen blessing. The love of God, His forgiveness, and the hope of eternal life, and the life that lasts forever, those are things you can't see. But it is reality. You just can't see it. And when we focus on those things, it changes things. And again, he talks about how outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Again, the fact of the matter is our sinful bodies are mortal. As we age, things start going wrong, sometimes even when we're young, and eventually those bodies break down and die. It's the reality that we face. But the unseen reality is that the real you, your new self created in Christ Jesus, does not waste away. It's renewed day by day. As we look to Jesus and are renewed by word and sacrament, and as we grow closer to Jesus, and as our body ultimately dies, that part of you doesn't stop. But our souls will live with Jesus in paradise. And one day, Jesus will come back and He'll take this bag of dirt that is my body and raise it out of the grave and glorify it, and I will live with Jesus forever. And He promises that to all of us. And that's the reality that gives us encouragement when the reality that we see is not so encouraging. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. But no matter what we face in life, no matter what kind of problems we may have in front of us, nothing changes the unseen reality that we are dearly loved children of God and we have a home in heaven. And when Paul focused on the future world of eternity and he focused on the things that you can't see, that gave him so much encouragement when he faced earthly trouble. He says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. It's like he's saying, take all the earthly troubles and problems that you can possibly think of in your life and put them on a big scale. And you might be thinking to yourself, that's going to take a pretty big scale. And Paul probably could have said the exact same thing. With all the stuff that he went through, that's going to be an awfully big scale. But then he says, take your problems off that scale, and now put the heavenly glory that God has promised you in Jesus Christ. That's going to take an even bigger scale. In fact, there's no scale big enough to even weigh what that is, the eternal glory of heaven that we'll have with Jesus. You know, say your problems tip the scales at, say, 10,000 pounds, which seems like a lot, but the heavenly glory that God gives us, a scale that goes up to 10 million pounds would not be enough in comparison. Or maybe to picture it a different way, you know, if you take the little meter on your phone or your computer that measures your memory and it says how much is there and there's a little line and it's filled with color that, oh, my memory's almost full because it's red up to this point. We may want to do the same thing with our lives, and we try and measure our trouble, and we look at the line of our life and we say, boy, there's a lot of trouble in it. But what Paul is basically saying is, well, take that little line on your phone and extend it off the screen of your phone and extend it all the way across church and extend it all the way across the parking lot and extend it to Lake Michigan and past Lake Michigan and just keep going and going, because that's eternity. And then when you take that and you look at the little amount of trouble on that line, well, then it's not so much. But you have to see the big picture. That's why it's so important for us to focus on what is unseen rather than what is seen. And it's hard, because the stuff that we see, that grabs our attention. That's why we're here, isn't it? So that we can focus on the unseen blessings of God. So when I think about all of this, it makes me realize that, you know, the big problem isn't a lack of courage or something wrong with my personality. It's really a lack of focus. My vision needs correcting. I'm not focusing on the right things. He says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It's true, a lot of times we don't speak up about Jesus, and that betrays a lack of focus on Jesus that ought to be there. And it might feel like, boy, you know, I have enough to feel guilty about already without piling this on top of it, but it makes us realize really how much we need Jesus. That yes, we've focused on things that you can see rather than the unseen. We have focused on the outside, not the inside. We've been looking at ourselves and not on Jesus. And for that, we come to the cross of Jesus and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he does. And he forgives. And he loves. Not because we've been good Christians, but because he shed his blood for us on the cross. And it is free and it is perfect, and his love is given to us in Christ. And in that we are encouraged and we take hope. We look to Jesus and the unseen blessings of God. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We believe that. That is reality. And because we believe that, that's why we speak up. Because of Jesus, we have comfort in all of our troubles. Because of Jesus, we have confidence in our speaking and in everything that we do in living for Jesus. In Jesus, we have hope in eternal life. In Jesus, we do not lose heart. We believe that Jesus has forgiven our sins and gives us eternal life. We believe, therefore we speak. And in Jesus, we do not lose heart. Amen. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen.